A pop. Well, I'm afraid that's it for Exploration. Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku for Exploration. In the first half of Exploration, we had astronaut Tom Jones of NASA, who's been on many space shuttle rides into outer space. And then in the second half of Exploration, we had Dr. Robert Zubrin, founder of the Mars Society. And for copies of today's program, you can call the Pacifica Program Service at 1-800-735-0230. That's 1-800-735-0230 for a copy of today's program. Good day.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Listen to Black Book Talk at KBOO-FM every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon. Co-hosts O.B. Hill, Patricia Welch, and Emma Jackson Ford discuss African-American authors and books. That's Black Book Talk every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon on KBOO-FM.
Hi, I'm Marcia Hawker, DJ, lover, and supporter of jazz here in Portland, and this is the Vestal Storytelling Project, a podcast in three parts highlighting three jazz musicians, three food cart owners, and the community celebration centered around a school for social justice. In part one, we find out what it means to be a school for social justice. We'll hear the voices of educators, parents, and students from Vestal Elementary, a school located on Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland, Oregon.
All right.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi. Great things happened in our very first year of being a school for social justice, which was a lot of teachers were talking to their kids about, we're going to start this focus. And a second grade girl, after her teacher kind of explained things, the second grader said, oh, so social just means like our whole community. And justice, you just mean like we help anybody who needs it. And it was like the simplest definition of social justice that, of course, I've ever heard. And the most relevant. Like, yes, it isn't all that complicated. Of course, it's complicated to live out on a, you know, worldwide focus, but focusing on social justice truly does mean you pay attention to your community and you pay attention and take action when people need help and support. One thing I really envision for Vestal is that we obviously are a really strong school during the school day, which is basically 8 to 2:15, but before and after and in between, we offer other resources to both our kids and our families. Mm-hmm. So that it just becomes a center of, in this case, the Montevilla neighborhood, where families know whatever it is that they may need, they can access here, or we can help them figure out where to access things. In a perfect world, we're not there yet, but in a perfect world, Vestal would be a place where families can come, you know, for health needs, for housing needs, for connections around daycare, applying for jobs, all that kind of thing, but it also means that kids have meaningful activities to do if needed before and after school, that food is never an issue, that there's always access to breakfast, lunch, dinner. And again, I just wanna say that we're not there yet, but when I envision what it means to be a school as the community hub, it would mean just a ton of support and resources in a really comfortable, friendly place, which is the school. lot of times people will say, like, well, every school should be a school for social justice, and I don't disagree with that at all. But what I have really found in trying to lead this change is all of us at on our staff need to be very, very explicit about what we mean. We need to use consistent vocabulary around social justice, stay very connected to what's going on in our local community, tie in connections to social justice whenever they appear, which is honestly every single day. So the explicitness and the integrated aspect is really what's changed the day-to-day feel of the school.
Okay. So what is your favorite subject in school?
I really, really, really love English.
My favorite subject is math or physical education.
I thought you said it was geography.
My favorite subject that we do is reading and lunch and recess. I can't decide between the three.
You couldn't have said actually do?
Hello, my name is Coach Kyle Conley. I am the PE coach here at Bestel Elementary, the best school in the world.
What does personally, like, social justice mean to you?
It would mean something different for me if you were asking my personal opinion of it. But as a teacher at Bestel, yeah, it means every student's getting their own voice, yeah, and being allowed to take local action in making this theirs. I never want a situation where a kid feels like this is my classroom and not theirs. This is their school. I'm just a part to help them, guide them on their journey in their school.
Yeah, would you say that, like, the effects of COVID almost, like, amplified the importance of community?
Yes, yeah. 1,000%, because it allowed us to not take community for granted anymore. Because last year, I was teaching right over there and teaching into a computer screen, which there's no possible way to create community through a computer screen, right? Like, that's the whole, you need personal interaction. For my opinion, that's where community comes from.
Yeah.
Pushing the sled the same way, believing in the same stuff and all that kind of stuff. That's what creates that sense of community and a sense of pride. You can't have a pride in coming to a building if you're not asked to come to the building.
A lot of students, when we were asking, like, what's their favorite part about Vestal and stuff like that, said that PE was their favorite parts of Vestal. So I think, like, my question is, what do you do that you think is so different that people feel so welcomed in this gym?
I used to teach in Florida, used to teach in New York, and it's been the same way. It's looking at the students as humans. Like, and I know that seems like most obvious thing ever, but create a personal relationship with each one of them. Kids can see right through if you're telling them stories that you don't actually believe. So therefore, I believe in the sense of community, so they believe in the sense of community, so therefore it all comes together.
My first name is Zulia.
And what does social justice mean to you?
Well, I think it means that most of the things being, like, okay, and there not being a whole ton of problems, and we can just, for the most part, live peacefully in Vestal and stuff.
Social justice is kind of a big word, and it's kind of hard to figure out what it means.
Two words.
You know what? You're right. You're right. I mean, you're leading the podcast at this point.
Like, one time we picked up trash of neighborhood in kindergarten. The whole kindergarten joined it. We also celebrate Chinese New Year and almost every single holiday. This month, it's Asian and American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And last month was Autism Acceptance Month.
So you guys have a lot of chances to talk about different groups of
yes,
people with different problems. And Hunter, what does social justice mean to you?
Helping to get rid of bad stuff in the community.
I think that's a smart, quick answer.
Mm-hmm. And respecting everyone's culture and identity.
These are good answers. Like I said, you guys could probably lead this podcast better than I could.
So what would you say social justice means to you?
It means maybe peace, equality, and equity.
mean?
Social justice means peace and rights for everyone and inclusion, and everybody gets what they need.
Okay, so I think social justice means peace and love and kindness and more love and helping others. And my mom has the same type of computer as the one you are using, an iMac.
So how's your fourth grade social justice project going?
Well, it's going really well. We've been working on a lot of different things, and I feel like it's just really simple to do for me, because it's just like you make the posters and the essays are, and the articles are a little harder, but if you think enough about them, you can think about something social justice related, and I just really like getting into that.
Everyone at Vestal is having a chance to do a social justice project, correct? What are you guys working on right now?
We're reading a book in class. It's part of our social justice project. The author is going to visit us soon.
Well, that's incredible.
Specifically tomorrow.
What's the book about?
It's Peace, Love.
Yeah.
Peace, Love, Action. Peace, Love, Action.
Cool.
And it's about...
It has different... So each...
People.
It's like an... It has... The whole alphabet and each letter has a
different
specific famous person that has something to do with one.
Like, except X. There was no one in X.
There's nobody in
Harvard. My first name is Sadie Warden. My first name is Sadie. My last name is Warden.
That's okay. No worries. You're doing great. It's just to do
your favorite subject.
I do a lot of sketching.
Cool.
There's a lot of art around the school that has to do with social justice. Mm-hmm. Have you done any of that art, or is there any particular art you really like?
Yeah. One time we did posters that with social justice and stuff like that, and I made a shadow smiling and with peace signs.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you know Shadow?
Mm-hmm.
Shadow. Nice.
Evil version of
something. He's mostly from Shadow the Hedgehog.
My name is Matthias Ezekiel Reuter.
Great.
My name is Hunter.
Hunter, what do you like about Vestal?
I like how much nature there is outside. And how they help deal with problems.
Do you feel like you have a lot of people you can talk to about your problems here?
Yeah. Like Mr. Chu, his water bottle is right there.
One of our key components as a school counselor is to advocate. And so the social justice comes about when particularly marginalized like voices and students and ethnicities and languages that are not being represented, like we bring them to the fore and make sure that they're getting their needs met. Mm-hmm. That's either basic in terms of like rent, food, medical insurance, to like more complex needs such as like interpersonal relationships and friendships and how things going in school. I worked with the LGBTQ as an ally since college, the last like 24 years. And so with that, like I want to make sure that our students that are non-binary, gender diverse, LGBTQ2IAP+, like have a voice and are like their pronouns are represented and they're like, they're being used, their preferred names are being used, and they get to use the right bathroom, whatever they want.
Amazing. What is being done to promote social justice at Vestal?
So systemically, each class works on a project, and it's supposed to be student-driven, and so the students come up with an idea. The teachers obviously will scaffold it and have prompts and different ways to explore. So they would come up with a project and then pursue it. And then I think it's always asking the hard questions, asking the questions that people don't want to answer. That are uncomfortable. Like, okay, how are we supporting our students that are traditionally not been supported? How are we supporting our families that are getting pushed out because of rent? How are we supporting our Black students during Black Lives Matter? How are we supporting our Asian Pacific Islanders when there's tons of like xenophobia? So there's just like constantly asking those questions.
What advice would you give a new student coming to Vestal? How would you like welcome that kid?
I would tell them to try to be kind, because sometimes when new kids come to Vestal, they start bullying everybody.
Right, because they're scared.
Yeah.
They also might be shy. You should just let them get used to it.
What advice about Vestal would you give a new student?
Well, I would say that they should be kind but feel safe. The teachers are like all really nice, so you can also tell them if there's anything wrong, and you can always find like a friend and help if you need it. You can also like share your ideas and like make them become reality if they're like good.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Or that's subject to change. You could also just talk about maybe something you're super passionate about.
I have a lot.
You have a lot. That's the best way to go.
I'm actually not sure. There's a lot of things that I want to be, but one of my top two is either a dancer or a vet.
I have a lot of dream jobs, like a scientist, engineer, anime constructor.
YouTuber.
YouTuber.
Oh my god, too many kids. Too many kids. As a full-time job, I am not surprised for you.
Don't you have your own YouTube channel?
Maybe I'll do YouTube as like a side thing.
As a parent, what do you think of the school?
I love it. Yeah. I think we're lucky to be part of it. I really appreciate that the social justice program teaches a different kind of intelligence. Like, I think there's an emotional intelligence that is really emphasized here that is way more meaningful than a lot of what elementary education could be. Just about being what it means to be a member of a community. Yeah, and it's just a very heart-centered place. And I feel pretty lucky to have my daughter go here.
What does Vestal as a community hub mean to you?
It's one of the few places where people come together in person at this point. Right. And it means a lot, I think. I mean, Sabrina, Miss Flamo, is such a good leader. She's such a good communicator. Like, just there's this touchstone that I think has been really helpful during pandemic times that she's provided. Of like every week she sends out an email and tells you what's going on, and you're like, oh right, I'm part of this thing. Oh, I just think it's great. I think it's great that like we do have people like Neil at Montevilla at Jazz, and like it's really wild to see all the people that are coming together to talk about this little school.
Ooh, I like this question. If you were going to write a song to tell someone else's story, how would you do that?
What I would do is, first I would write their story down on a paper, like write the script for the song, mm-hmm. And I would learn how to play music. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing music for the talent show. Ooh. So I have to practice a lot. Oh. I got a guitar a year ago. But then it was too big for me, so then my dad got me another one that was just my size, and then my guitar stand wasn't so good, so then my guitar fell like flat on the floor and the neck snapped. Aww. So then my dad had to give me another one, and that's the one I still have, and I have it on a 2-year warranty.
That's good. All right. So you're prepared now.
So what was the question again?
Hi, are you all done?
No.
No, we're still working on you here.
All right, because we need to take you up to your teacher. It's time to go.
Already?
Yeah, I think it's okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, I'm Marcia Hawker, DJ, lover, and supporter of jazz here in Portland, and this is the Vestal Storytelling Project, a podcast in three parts highlighting three jazz musicians, three food cart owners, and the community celebration centered around a school for social justice. Part 2. In this part, we meet Denzel Mendoza, Mary Sue Tobin, and Machado Mejiga, three local jazz musicians who wrote music inspired by three immigrant food cart owners who do business across from Vestal on Northeast 82nd Avenue.
Hunter, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a musician because I love music.
Do you have a favorite kind of music?
I don't know which type of music it belongs to, because it doesn't really seem like rock music. Queen.
Sweet!
I like Queen and the Pixies.
The Queen and the Pixies.
See? Also, good job, your parents.
Yeah, way to go. That's awesome.
I mean, I'm just excited to have different artists exposing students to their works and the way they compose and the way they perform. I'm hoping that this kind of night and the exposure to this music is going to be, yeah, just really encouraging for them to eventually pour more into the music program and maybe get some stuff going. So my name is Evan Williams. I am from Southern California originally, and I moved up to Oregon this last summer to actually come teach here at Vestal. So I saw the posting on the PPS website, and I was super stoked about it. And then even furthermore, you know, I was researching and Vestal, a school for social justice. And as a queer brown man, I was like, that is my jam. Like, heck yeah. So recently I've taken a lot more intentionality in incorporating like world music and introducing students to a lot of different areas and styles and different experiences. But I think it's also led to more discussions about the idea of colonialism, you know, and you know, just last week I was doing some lessons on South Africa, and we got into a conversation about what it meant for people to come and just claim the land as their own. And even in the ways that like forced integration of those cultures changed the way the music was and how it is now. Social justice and music, for me, I mean, it just continues to exist at that intersection, because I think that's where like a beautiful sweet spot that you're able to tell stories in different ways, and then also encourage students to explore the ways that their cultures express music and make music, and the ways that they can go and explore that on their own time, but then also exposing other kids to their cultures. I mean, I just a few weeks ago I did Bomba, and I had one of my students, I didn't even know this, but she was like, I'm Puerto Rican and like my family listens to this, and we got to have a conversation and she got to share with the class a little bit. And so it's just been a big blessing for me to see that the intersection that I believe to be there is actually there and able to be played out in my classroom.
I'm Machado Mejiga. I am a Portland-born, partially Portland-raised multi-instrumentalist, composer, producer. I studied classical saxophone at Washington State University and have basically picked up all my other musical skills along the way. I'm self-taught on piano and drums and I guess whatever instruments are necessary for production. Well, I mean, I was approached to do this project by Neil Mattson, who's in charge of Montevilla, and I'd already done a project here before with Mary Sue Tobin, and showed students that jazz can exist in multiple different realms rather than just whatever era. I mean, I think Mary Sue was specifically doing curriculum that showed that jazz progressed through the ages and has changed, and so my whole display was basically showing that there was like a diaspora of jazz and hip-hop. I'm working with Ricky Sushi, which is a sushi food cart started by a Guatemalan immigrant, Ricky Lopez, who has a really interesting story. Basically started his own business last year, which is cool. Coming from somebody who had absolutely nothing and moved to this country basically as a teenager and progressed to having his own business. So it was cool talking to him, and he had really good sushi. I tried his sushi. I've never written anything specifically for this event, so this was a new thing.
How do you write music?
I've written music in a bunch of different ways, and it's sort of morphed. I mean, I guess it changes. It depends on what I'm trying to do. Sometimes I sit at a piano and I try and figure something out, and then I either record it as a voice memo and then try and figure out what I played later, or sometimes I just sit in front of a notation software and think about ideas in my head and try and essentially transcribe them in real time.
How do you hope the project grows in the future?
I mean, I hope more people do it, and I hope that it expands, that more schools do this, and that maybe it starts as like a blueprint for the future.
My name is Denzel Mendoza. I play trombone. As far as musical background, I've been playing the trombone for 16, almost 17 years now. I started back in sixth grade. Music for me is a sort of respite from the life that I've had to overcome and work with for a majority of my life. I wanted to become an architect for the longest time. Yeah, that was my first passion until my father, who was the architect that I looked up to, left my family. It was the reason why we became undocumented immigrants in this country. At that moment in my life, I found music, which carried me and has taken care of me since then. These motifs and these ideas, these themes, they're a constant, ever-changing ideas that flow through me day to day. And it's those ideas that I'd like to carry to show people, to make folks understand what it's like to live a life hiding, not knowing what's going to happen the next day. So I'm interviewing Nancy, and she runs the Thai food cart within the pods, and that Thai food cart is actually her restaurant that burnt to the ground years prior. Meeting Nancy for the first time was actually really wonderful. I met up with her to just get a quick little introduction, and we scheduled an actual interview. And I realize that Nancy and I have so much in common. We're both immigrants to this nation. We're both cooks. We both enjoy what we love. But she's also incredibly giving and completely understanding. In fact, every single second that I was talking to Nancy reminded me of my own mother. It was kind of uncanny. So what I gained from Nancy's story is her dedication, her love, and her commitment to what she's offering to the community. This is a true story of people's lives, both Nancy and mine. So what I hope to see, and this is what I hope for every audience that I perform for, is the understanding of self-expression, the understanding of what these stories mean. Because most folks don't know an undocumented immigrant. Most folks don't know what it's like, and will never know what it's like. But my chance as a musician to showcase these stories and these efforts, that's what I want the audience to understand. I'm not performing, I'm not entertaining, I'm telling a story.
So my name is Mary Sue Tobin, and I'm a professional teacher, educator based out of Portland, Oregon. I did go to PSU. I got my master's there. Currently, I play in about 5 or 6 different bands around Portland regularly, and then I'm a freelance musician, so I'll do one-off shows with people. I've worked for a couple years doing projects for Montevilla Jazz as their artist in residence, so I've taught here at Vestal through their program to try to help explain why jazz is important. I pretty much, 24/7 music for me, and that's pretty much what I've always done. So the real thing that went off for me was when I, in high school, I'd been playing oboe and piano, and I got into the jazz band, and our jazz band teacher had just gotten out of North Texas, which is a big jazz school, and he was just so inspired, and I just was like, this is it. And I switched to saxophone, and I just spent all my money on jazz albums, and it was just everything jazz for me. I didn't listen to pop music. I didn't go to shows with my friends. I really just was a total, like, that's what I did. Yeah, so they paired me with a young woman named Samira, and she's from Somalia, which is in the Horn of Africa. She runs the East African food cart I'm trying to represent in my own way, her culture, from what she told me. And so I met with her and talked with her. Like I said, it was very illuminating, and I was really like, I know exactly what I'm going to do now. I knew a lot about West African music and Ghanaian music, and it is more melodic, I would say. The East African music, she was saying, is really only used for ceremonies. There's a lot of poetry. It used to be just poetry and spoken word and hand clapping. There wasn't even a lot of drums. But now, of course, there's hip hop and all kinds of stuff. But it's very spoken word heavy. So all the information that she gave me, a lot of the music is ceremonial. So I kind of geared my songs when I put them together with this interlude. It's kind of an arc that, in my overthinking way, represents that. And hopefully it will be musical as well. I kind of put the songs together in this arc with this, like, they're eating after dark, and then it's like this more of a, like, a romantic thing, and then there's sort of a marriage ceremony kind of a thing, and then they're eating spaghetti and sauce and in a romantic way. So, like, I had this weird overthinking construct in my head about it, but it makes sense to me, and I tried to keep it sort of repetitive and simple and modal in texture. So I don't know, maybe it's too intellectual, but it also sounds good, I think. So I'm hoping, yeah, I think it will sound good too.
Part 2 of the Vestal Storytelling Project featured original music. Multi-instrumentalist Lucharo Mjiga produced The Serpent, The Primrose, The Viscount, and The Alcove. A Mother's Hunger by trombonist Denzel Mendoza. Saxophonist Mary Sue Tobin composed Cambulo After Dark, Samira's Interlude, and Basto e Yo Sugo, The complete recordings are available at montevillajazz.org. Hi, I'm Marcia Hawker, DJ, lover, and supporter of jazz here in Portland, and this is the Vestal Storytelling Project. In part three, we'll meet Nancy Manchusa, Samira Muhammad, and Ricky Lopez, owners of Bayokai, Mira's East African Cuisine, and Ricky Sushi. Their stories inspired the new music created by the Montevilla Jazz artists featured in part two. Part three.
Are you guys excited about the social justice night?
Yes. Yes, there's going to be pizza there.
Dude, I do love pizza.
And food, kind of food.
There's going to be music there also.
Yeah.
I love
jazz.
I love music.
Everyone's super stoked for the social justice night. Kyle, Coach C, he wrote a song, like a Vestal school song, and the kids all know it. And so when they sing it, it's absolutely precious and like it hits a spot when we're practicing it in music class because they're just like so into it and singing.
Coach C, come on back up and lead us all through the social justice song. People who don't know, Coach C took a song that some of you may recognize from other parts of your life, and he made it into our Vestal song, which is awesome. Students, I want you to sing along and sing loudly. We're outside.
I don't mind letting others play. Listen up when my class has got something to say. Don't get angry when it's not my shot. We all got feelings and they matter a lot. We love our school and we're here to say social justice is the only way. Cause Vestal. One more time, Vestal, Vestal.
What brought you to Vestal tonight to volunteer for the, I'm assuming you're volunteering for the Social Justice Night?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's an excellent cause. And it is about community, and community, support of community is about supporting humanity. And we have a diverse community and students at Vestal, and so this is a really loving outreach for the students and the parents.
To America, the first place I was is in Alaska. Mm-hmm. So in Alaska, I learned how to cut in fish, first of all. And I was working in an American restaurant, fillet the fish and salmon. So they didn't care if I cut like, you know, really bad or really nice, because they went for like eight ounces each,
uh-huh.
each piece. So, you know, and that's how I practice over there. So when I started making sushi, it was easy for me, you know, because I knew how to slice the salmon and everything, take it out the hair, the skin, the bones and everything. Because I was afraid to open the food cart, you know, but I have a lot of friends and my cousin opened all their own business. So they pushed me to do this. But you know, the problem sometimes is about money, because the money, it's not easy to get the money. In the house, I'm the only one working, only one check in the house. And I say, I have to make more money, so I have to find best way how, you know. So here is two choices, you know, make money or completely, you know, try. But always being a positive, you know, and say, no, I have to do it, you know, because I know how to said, you know, I opened so many restaurants before, so I don't know, I know how this works. So it was really easy for me to open this business, but for another point, it's really hard. I have to be here like 7 days a week and start from, you know, but sometimes, you know, it's crazy. But yeah, the reason I opened this business is because make more money.
Mm-hmm. More money than working for somebody else.
Yes, and you being on home bus, you know.
How did you learn how to make sushi?
Well, my family, they started making sushi in 1994. It's called Marimpoli Sushi Land.
Okay.
The one in Beaverton, but they closed down because of COVID. They opened so many restaurants, so I helped them to open restaurants in Seattle, here around Portland.
Wow.
It take me like 6 to 8 months to learn, but the most difficult part is cutting fish, cutting, you know, making like make a nice ones, you know, for special rolls. Yeah, a lot of kids, after they get off of school, they come here
okay.
and grab some sushi. But lately, sometimes on the weekends, a big family is coming, kids, because the kids already know they like the food here, so they come with the parents, you know. I'm glad people like my sushi, my job.
We worked really hard when we came here 7 days a week, you know, and save money. And we start a business, the one in Gresham, for the first one, Sabati Thai cuisine. I didn't make much money, but at least I have a job, you know, came myself like that.
Yeah, and it's yours.
Mm-hmm, yes, that's I'm work really hard too, you know. I got up, my mom got up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And my dad worked with her, you know. I grew up like this. That's why how I learned to cook. Before the fire, I just got reward. My reward just about not many months settled, final, I mean. And then about a month later, after the fire, I got an accident. Somebody ran through the red light, hit me on the way. I see my bookkeeper to work on the fire thing, insurance. You know why? No, but you know why? One thing that I think, you know, I still alive. I didn't kill anyone, you know. I don't know. People said, Nancy, how you live with this, all the thing. I think I'm okay, but I'm not. But 2 weeks, you know, I kept myself in the room, got up, had something sweet, and back to sleep about 2 weeks. And then I think it's not me, you know. I'm gonna do something. I have to get up to do something. I'm strong before. I work hard people, you know.
Thank you.
We make all the noodles handmade, you know. People ask me why your food is good. I said, because I put my love in there.
My name is Samir Mohammed, and my relationship with the community is I grew up here. I also went to Vestal.
Awesome.
Yeah, when I first came to America, this is the first school I went to. They didn't have at the time like a good program to like transition for immigrant kids, especially kids from like Africa or like, you know, who were coming here from like a refugee background instead of like as an immigrant. So that was a difference because so it was kind of misplaced. But right now, when I started working, I seen like they have a lot of programs for to help with the English. They have extra teachers. You know, they pull out the kids to like teach them reading wise to catch up and still be in the main classrooms, so they don't have to feel like they're isolated as well. So I seen that. But back then, it felt like if you were new, you were in separate like side of the community and you didn't see the main classroom or anyone. So I didn't really get to see that when I was younger. I used to work here as well because I was a TA for Miss Thomas, the kindergarten class. It was really fun. I love Vestal. And this area is like, I grew up here, I went to Madison.
So your relationship
yeah.
here is
yes, yes. So the name is Mira's East African Cuisine. My name is Samira, so I shortened it to Mira. And then the dishes I make is traditional, like Somali food, like bariis and marag. It's been really popular. It's rice with like either beef or chicken stew with lots of vegetables and flavors. And it's been really popular. That's the bariis and marag. And then the chicken sukhar or the beef sukhar with the side of rice is similar to the bariis and marag, but it's not as saucy. So it's just like chopped up beef or chicken with like a little bit of seasonings and potatoes on it. Yeah, it's really delicious. Well, Neil came to our food cart and he had this idea of connecting the food carts with the social justice night. He came to my cart and like we were just talking, and I told him I like the proposal because it's really nice. I hope he gets his proposal when he was submitting it, because it will make a difference, you know, building that community between the food carts and the school. Every small business that you support here, it comes back to like, you know, for the community.
Od gunteda barta waxa damaaday galayne ninki ka guwayniyo ninki garasha
ka darne. I opened it, it's gonna be a year in August. It's been a learning cycle. like first time business owner. It's like up and down. My approach to my business was to provide a really delicious, authentic Somali food. There's a couple of small restaurants here, but it's still not well known, and I wanted to introduce that to like to the community. And that was one of my interests to start a business, actually. I know how to cook, I know how to make all these delicious Somali food, and people need to try, it's really delicious. Yeah, and share my passion. You can't compare yourself to like the older generation because you can never top them. So I always accepted that, like I can never top like my aunt. She's the best cook in our, like, you know, in town and like in the whole community, actually. Yeah, and then my mom is a really good cook, but like you just have to like learn your own way and accept it, and you can't top like anyone, you can't compete, you just have to like be passionate about it, you know. And so that's what I learned, like the way I make it, this is the way I make it, and I love it, and I want to share that with others. I'm not competing with no one anymore.
our culture. We use music to convey our culture.
There's a, also people feel like it's, since it's a lot of a minority kids, a lot of like kids that come from low socioeconomics, that they think the school is not as high performing, you know, which is not. Like, all these kids are so beautiful and they're so bright. I loved working here, and they have so much potential, you know. The community needs to see that. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I'll see you at the social justice.
Yes.
We use music to convey our culture.
Because our students have a voice. Welcome to the school where we all get a choice. Now, Vesto! Vesto! I don't mind letting others play. Listen up when my class has got something to say. Don't get angry when it's not my shot. We all got feelings and they matter a lot. We love our school and we're here to say social justice is the only way. Cause Vesto! Vesto! One more time, Vesto! Vesto!
The Vestal Storytelling Project was produced by Erica Thomas of Works Progress Agency. Executive producers are Sabrina Flamo, Daryl Grant, Suzanne Saveria, and Neil Mattson. Voice narration by Marcia Hawker. Field recordings, mixing and editing by Erica Thomas. Interviews conducted by Lynn Lee, Noah Gardner, Devin Schofield, Tommy Sepulveda, Kyle Rogers, Judy Turnauer, Ricky Riley Loy, Tiana Gadd, Amelia Wheezes, Matthew Staples, William Tang, Sarah Wallach, and Vanessa Smolik. A Mother's Hunger was composed and performed by Denzel Mendoza, with Sebastian Owens. Music was recorded and mixed by Machado Majiga. Cambulo After Dark, Samira's Interlude, and Basto Ayosugo were composed and performed by Mary Sue Tobin, with Edwin Coleman III, Brian L. Davis, Eric Gruber, Mike Horsfall, and John Savage. Music was recorded and mixed by the Portland State University Sonic Arts and Music Production Department. The Serpent, The Primrose, The Viscount, and The Alcove were composed and performed by Machado Mejiga, with Dylan Hayes and Andrew Jones. Music was recorded and mixed by Andrew Jones. Vestal is Socially Just was written and performed by Kyle Coach C. Connolly. Special thanks to Enrique Ricky Lopez Briu, Nancy Manchusa, Samira Muhammad, Matthias, Hunter, Sulia, Sadie, Romiliano, Oliver, Maxwell, Loan, Baruto, Principal Flamo, Evan Williams, Kyle Connolly, Michael True, Leah Jacobson, Janelle Weatherby, Gloria Gilbert, Maya Lamanto, Kim Gumbel, Ryan McMahon, Anwen Cavill-Willette, Lydia Barnard, Brandon Burke, Vestal Parent and Teachers Association, Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization ERCO, The Yard at Montevilla, Friends of Noise, City of Portland, and the Metro Community Placemaking Grant, which made this project possible. This has been the Vestal Storytelling Project. For more information about the project or to listen again, please visit montevillajazz.org. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7